And here just recently, a footprint found, and that however million years ago, our ancestors walked upright. Wow, isn't that a surprise? And it's just amazing how those predictions are made, or those ideas are made, and then they don't follow through. Well, thank God the principles from the Word of the Lord continue consistently, and that's certainly true in developing disciples. Our focused thought brings out the point, developing disciples requires someone with knowledge who is willing to share it, that sharing is important, and others who are willing to receive it. That's the basis of communication. It's got to be shared and taught, communicated, and then it's got to be received. Otherwise, communication has not been complete. The focus verse, Paul cites a young man named Timothy. On the few lessons before, we understood his disappointment with John Mark. But then John Mark was redeemed. John Mark was brought to the place where he was profitable for the ministry. Now, Timothy is one who is mentioned. And in this verse, I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That consistency that the apostle is citing here and has demonstrated in his ministry, not changing it, not revamping it, not making it new and improved, but the consistent teaching that he brought. And he is then saying, Timothy, or Timotheus, is going to continue this as well. And thank the Lord that there would be that recognition of what God would do. Acts 16 is our lesson text, as well as Philippians 2. Let's drop down to 2 Timothy 1. And note here how Paul is saying, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. That unfeigned faith is something that was to be greatly valued, because even in the first century church, there were those who felt it was profitable to be fake. And we know Ananias and Sapphira paid a huge price for lying to the Holy Ghost. That's pretty scary. But yet here, unfeigned faith is lifted up in the face of those who would be fake. And then he cites Timothy's grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, and then he says, I am persuaded that it's in thee also. And thank God that there would be that recognition of what the Lord was able to do in terms of the faith being passed on to each succeeding generation. Amen. And that power from the Lord is good. And then he says, I put thee in remembrance, verse 6, stir up the gift of God, putting on of my hands. And then verse 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. So the mentor that the apostle determined he was going to be, and the young men that he selected, we have 1 and 2 Timothy, the letters that he wrote to the young pastor, Titus also, a letter that he wrote there. Thank God for the effort that he put forth in passing this truth on to the next generation. That's the way it needs to be. And in order to be a mentor, you have to be quite human. And because you're dealing with humans. The humanity is going to be evident in a number of ways. Notice that the culture connection says, listen, be there when people need you. Teach. Let them fail. Pick people up. Keep them grounded. Leave a legacy. Amen. All of these aspects of truth from the Word of God are very important. And Christianity, it's stated here, is a revealed faith. I thought about that for a minute. A revealed faith. In other words, it's not something that can be comprehended just by the natural mind. Just 2 + 2 = 4 and so on. Just the scientific approach or the approach from basic knowledge. There's got to be a revelation of God and a revelation of my need for God. A revelation of sin. Some people don't acknowledge they need God. I remember going through a Bible study and feeling the presence of God and sitting in that person's home and going through everything, and it'd just be a great time. And we came to the end, and the man shrugged and said, I don't need it. I don't need it. I've accomplished what I need to accomplish on my own. Well, a revelation. You need the Lord. And thank God, those disciples recognized that they weren't above and beyond everybody else because they had been selected, they had been called. They recognized their need for the Lord and continued in that relationship with God. Hence, they became eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses not only of the miracles and of the power of God, but of the redemption of God, because they likewise fit into that category of needing to be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus. But Paul is commending Timothy and citing how that he was aware of his lifestyle and how there were evidences of the hand of God in his life that came in a tremendous way. For example, in Antioch, they had some very difficult things happen to them there. Even though they were first called Christians at Antioch, that name, that title, applied to believers, followers of the Lord. Still, there were those who opposed. In Iconium, they were planning a stoning. And then in Lystra, the stoning actually happened. Timothy was aware of these things that happened in Paul's life and knew this is a man who has proven himself to be true to the principles that he is presenting. It's not just a, that one didn't work, scratch that out, let's try this. And he knew that this was what he had to put forth and the hand of God that was upon him. So Paul, in his discipling of Timothy, developed a care for that young man, a concern for him, so that it would be a consistency that he would follow on. He reminded him of what he knew he had grown up with. Your grandmother, your mother, they had unfeigned faith. They were based on Scripture, and I know it's in you as well. And he was willing to recognize that, remind the young man of that, and follow through on when it needed to take place. Let's take just a second here and look at some of the instruction that was given. 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22. There was some very practical advice that the apostle was giving Timothy as first of all, as a young man. A young Christian, and certainly a number of instances that would deal with the need for being a pastor. But 2 Timothy 2:22 is telling him, flee youthful lusts. Stay away from them. Get away as fast as you can. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, a heart that is desiring the things of God and the blessing of the Lord. And it's interesting that he designates the things to flee from as youthful. No matter how old you are, there's going to be these aspects that the devil is going to attack you with. But he designates them as youthful because that implies a lack of maturity, a lack of experience. When we become older in our walk with God, there needs to be a corresponding knowledge of how to say no. And not only how to say no, but a track record of we said no, we overcame, we continued where we needed to be, and followed through on what the Word of God says. And thank God that that designation needs to be there consistently as we follow on to know the Lord. Paul told him, avoid foolish lusts, flee from foolish lusts, avoid foolish and unlearned questions. You know, there are areas that you are going to stay away from because it just doesn't help. And there are some questions that people may ask you that you don't have to answer because they're just foolish. And all they do is stir up strife. But if people really want to know how to change, how to be saved, how the power of God can be applied to their life, praise God. You've got a whole bunch of experience. You've got a whole bunch of scriptures. You've got a lot of resources that you're able to share and able to look at examples from the book of Acts and from Timothy's experience and how he needed to receive from the Lord and the blessings that would be there. Amen. Now, in mentoring, there are ideas that you want to put forth and principles that you want to put in place. And sometimes the young people don't follow through like you would like. But you still try to, let's move along here. Amen. Let's continue. Be on time. Be there. Be faithful. Follow through. And praise God, eventually that message will get through because it's important. It's a part of our serving God. It's a recognition of where we need to be. All right, Brother Mike is going to take 15 minutes here and give us some of the meat of this lesson, and then I'll finish it up.
Praise the Lord. This is such an important topic in this generation in which we're living. And moving on, developing the next generation, knowing and understanding the generation. I want to make one thing clear here, and that is that the way the world views this generation and the judgments that are made, they don't enter into the house of God. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, right? I have a mantra that I say often now, and it's, I'm not an Egyptian, I'm an Israelite. Can I hear you guys say that? And we have this chance with this younger generation to instill this apostolic identity into them, instill in them the charge that we have and the gift that is of God. And then this next level that Pastor Glover preached about on Thursday, the next level that we're entering into, we're going to need all hands on deck. And there's ministry for this younger generation right now. I don't believe in the Bible we can see anywhere where there's adolescence or where there's teenage years where the people of God would just have their time to grow up and sow their wild oats. But no, the age accountability was usually 12 years old. And from that point on, they had a mission and they had a work to do. And I really firmly believe if we can establish in this younger generation that they do have a call of God on their life, that they do have this gift, and that we are a royal priesthood. We are of the kingdom of God, and as such, we don't have to live by what the world says, okay? We have the power through prayer, through the Holy Ghost, to define what the world does. We actually have the power, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, when he said, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." That's what our prayer does. It shapes this present world. And so as we approach this generation, this next, what's the generation called, Pastor Glover? This generation? Mm-hmm. X? Okay. Okay. But as we approach this generation, let's not view it from the world standpoint. We're looking at this next generation, which is our heritage. In Psalms, it's called, the children are called a heritage, our heritage. And they're going to be who steps in when we pass on. They're going to step into the promises that we have prayed for and that we have been given. I heard a great point the other day with Elijah and Elisha when he asked for that double portion. He died having only experienced 13 miracles to Elijah's 7. And he died, and then we know that a dead soldier was thrown into his burial tomb. And when he hit the bones of Elisha, then he was raised from the dead, and that 14th miracle took place. But that was after he had passed away. And so this next generation, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking that I've received a lot of promises from God. And should God tarry, if I don't experience the fulfillment of all of them, I'm believing that my son, my daughter, and your sons and your daughters, this next generation is going to actually experience the fulfillment of all of our promises. Amen? Amen. That brings up a point. I get off track. I apologize, but Thursday when Pastor Glover was preaching, I felt such an unction hit me, and it wasn't something I've ever felt before. And I know angels follow me around, and I cannot sense them, but other people have, and that I trust. And so it wasn't that. And so I was meditating on that, and God impressed upon me that when Pastor Glover started to preach us into that next level, that we had a cloud of witnesses come, and they were getting to view the beginning of the fulfillment of what they had sought for, what the Frenches had believed God for. We had that heavy cloud of witnesses, and Jesus, he shamando komondo sakia tabayondo sakia shando mokoto ya. Oh, Jesus. I'm so excited for this next level that we're crossing over into together as a body. And I know Pastor Glover had mentioned in a lesson a couple Thursdays ago some ideas about the youth and what he would what he could see happening. And so we need preachers. We need teenagers that are moving into preaching, and we need teenagers that know how to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. And we need teenagers that are soul winners. And I believe if we can set expectations with confidence and empower, then impart, and then coach, and then teach, we're going to have no problem reaching this generation. Amen? With that said, we see in Acts 16, immediately when Timothy and Paul are first introduced to each other, in verse 3, it says, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." So Timothy's mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek, which we don't hear anything about his father. And just one chapter before that, Paul, who was adamantly against the Jewish people enforcing circumcision on the Gentile believers. He saw something in Timothy, which I believe is very important. I believe because Paul was a fighter. And Paul was willing to go to battle over things like this, but I think he realized that he wasn't mentoring Paul, but he was mentoring Timothy. And he was thinking about his future. He didn't want him to have to fight the battles that he was fighting currently. I think that's something important for this generation of mentors, is that there's some battles that we need to just continue to fight ourselves and not put on that younger generation. And through circumcising him himself, he showed Timothy that he could handle the most intimate aspects of Timothy's life, and that he would only be doing it for his good. And when we do that with this generation, when we show them that we care, and then what we're doing is out of concern for their future and out of trying to elevate and empower them, we aren't going to have a problem. I do not believe a problem reaching this generation and connecting. I refuse to believe what the world says about this generation. I refuse to believe it. It's not true in here. Amen. And so, teaching biblical principles. I'm not sure how much time I have left. Paul was an amazing mentor. And I believe as we step into this next level, we're going to find that God starts to manifest himself in a supernatural way with signs and wonders. And so as we're teaching and mentoring this next generation, we need to realize, as Pastor Glover has said many times, that there's more caught than taught. And so we're going to be leading by example. And so we're going to be stepping into this next realm, and we're going to be believing for the supernatural, and we're going to be operating in the miraculous. And so we are going to step out, and we are going to be an example, and we're going to show them how available the power of God is to them. And that's very important for us. And Paul led by example. To the point that he had Timothy wrote some of the 1 Corinthians, and he wrote Hebrews, even though Paul isn't considered necessarily the author. He wrote Hebrews, which my opinion defines the author as Paul, but Paul taught in a variety of ways. Can you imagine sitting there and writing as Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, would begin to break out in the spirit of revelation, and you're sitting there and you're writing that down. Paul taught in a variety of ways, and Paul was very open with his past. In fact, in 1 Timothy, he calls himself a chief sinner, of whom I was chief. And he says, of whom I am chief. See, let me find that. I'm sorry. You have that, Dad? When he said a chief sinner, that he was chief. Oh, thank you. This is a faithful saying and worthy. This is 1 Timothy 1:15, and worthy of all exception that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he let Timothy know right away that he still considered himself chief sinner, that he wasn't a superstar, that he wasn't anything great, that in his flesh there is no good thing. And so mentoring and ministering to this new generation, when we keep that aspect in mind, that we are all saved by grace, and that we're open with our failures and open with things that we've struggled with in the past, we're going to give that next generation the ability to step into what God has for them without being intimidated by thinking that they can't measure up to these perfect people, or can't measure up to their, you know, to their parents or Pastor Glover, because they have faults and they don't see any with us. We need to be open about our failures and our mistakes, and that will make that will make that transfer much more possible and elevate their faith instead of hindering it. But there's just to quickly move on in 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life." I'm using my for every one of these. "My purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I love how he reinforces what he taught Timothy, and then he goes ahead and moves right back into mentoring and giving him more insight about the being a man of God and the walk of God. And then he breaks into prophecy. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then the famous all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He makes it very clear that he fully had taught Timothy's doctrine, fully had made known his beliefs. And I really like how Paul would, in various times, would speak about my doctrine or my gospel. And I want to, as we walk in this in this life, it needs to become our beliefs. Our pastor, I listen to preaching constantly. That's one of my things. I don't think anyone I know listens to more preaching than me, so I've become somewhat of a connoisseur of preaching and teaching. And there's only one other teacher in the apostolic movement that comes close to Pastor Glover. Pastor Glover gives us some of the best apostolic teaching that I've ever heard. But we need to be believers of what he's teaching. He's given us deeper revelation. He's strengthening what our beliefs already are. But I trust Pastor Glover completely, but should he ever stray off of what the Bible says, I would hope that we would be able to catch that, or that something would strike us like, no, that's not what I believe. That's where we need to get that confidence in our own beliefs, not because Pastor Glover says it, but because we've taken it home and we've devoured it for ourselves, and then we've gotten it into our spirit, and then we can start transferring that. But until we own it, my gospel, my doctrine, we won't be able to have that same intensity or that level that level of confidence that we can transfer to the next generation. And I'm out of time. I apologize.
Paul was very concerned that the next generation know what the power of God could do in their lives, and then to impart that in a church setting as well. 2 Timothy 2:1-2, I think, is very significant in how he identifies multiple generations. 2 Timothy 2:1-2, he's, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me," there's one generation, "among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men," there's another generation, "who shall be able to teach others also." So Paul, and then Timothy, and then others, and then, or faithful men rather, and then others. Each generation needs to be able to grab a hold of what the Word of God says and be able to apply it to their situations, to their lives, to their families, and then be able to pass it on to others who need to know what the Word of God says. And obviously that necessity is there to be able to grasp those truths and then to apply it. 2 Timothy 2:15, a verse of scripture that I know is probably very familiar to you, and how study to show thyself approved to who? To God. Amen. We need to be approved to God. And that knowledge that God has of us, that awareness that God has of our lifestyle and of being able to fulfill what his plan is for us has got to be directed in our area of living all the time. What does rightly dividing the word of truth mean? It means that we let Scripture interpret Scripture. That is not just taking one verse of Scripture out of context and saying, oh, look here, this is a revelation. No, making the Word of God combine together to provide the right interpretation and the right understanding. In the Old Testament, it was stated this way, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So there's going to be a combination that's there in the Word of God that will be in fulfillment. And Paul demonstrates this in the numbers of times that he produces or presents different concepts and principles from the Word of God, and then others likewise agree with his presentation and recognizing this is what we need to do to follow through on the Word of God. Jesus emphasized teaching. I think he spent more time teaching than he did preaching. You ever wonder what the sound of Jesus preaching would be like when he fed 5,000? How could his voice have been amplified without a microphone, without the nice sound system and people who work the soundboard and make sure it's all functioning correctly? That wasn't there when Jesus taught those in John chapter 6, and there were many who didn't agree with what they heard, and many of them began to walk away. They had full stomachs. They'd seen the miracle, but they began to walk away because they couldn't handle the teaching. God help us to be able to absorb the word of the Lord and then be able to teach it as well. In Matthew, there's the verse of Scripture, verse 19, that he said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What we have to understand is, what is that name? What is that name? And thank God, we know from example in the Word of the Lord that that name is Jesus. Verse 20, he goes on and emphasizes teaching them to observe. So twice in each succeeding scripture, the teaching is important. And thank God we have time for teaching. And that is such an important aspect of the presentation of the Word of God. And then be able to follow through with the preaching as well. Preaching is wonderful, thank God. But teaching is important in terms of where we are in our walk with God as well. And also from the standpoint of the discipling, making disciples, developing disciples, the need to teach the Word of God. Thank the Lord that that can be a part of our experience as we follow on to know the Lord as well, and being able to share the Word of God in that regard. I think about Paul and the end of his life, the sequence that he went through, the missionary journeys that he devoted his life and his ministry to. And now he's at the closing years of his life. He's in prison in Rome. And he writes to Timothy, the young man that he has mentored, and he asks him, would you come and visit me? Bring my cloak. My goodness. Doesn't he have another one? He's pretty limited there in what he has. Bring my cloak, bring my books, and bring my parchments. That's not a whole lot to claim at the end of his life, is it? It shows the devotion that he has had and to be able to follow through in presenting the kingdom of God to the people that he ministered to. The cloak, because in the jail that he was a part of, it was probably damp and cold. The books, because he wanted to review what he had been preaching and teaching and make sure it's continued on to the next generation. And then the parchments, because he probably wanted to write letters to young ministers again and follow through with the instruction that needed to be given. Thank God that there would be that consistency that the apostle would understand was necessary to be passed on to the next generation. Let's go back to the focus verse again, 1 Corinthians 4 and 17. Here where the apostle is commending Timothy to the Corinthian church. I sent to you Timotheus, my beloved son, not son in a biological sense, but son in the gospel, faithful in the Lord, and he's going to bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. He's going to help you to remember how I served God, what I taught, what I presented, and that's going to be what you're going to follow through on. And he said, I teach this everywhere in every church. There's that consistency that Paul demonstrated in his life. That's what you got to have to be a mentor. It can't be up and down, roundabout, and solid one day, quicksand the next day, as far as the path you're walking on. It's going to be solid. And the apostle is demonstrating that. And then he's commending Timothy to go forth and do this and follow through in the exact same way. Be consistent. Be thorough. Be faithful. And he's showing the Corinthian church, this is what I have been for you, and this is how you need to follow me as I follow Christ, and this is how the young men that I am passing on the mantle, so to speak. Brother Mike mentioned Elijah and Elisha, that mantle that needed to be passed on to the next prophet, and praise God, it was just as powerful and just as amazing, just as miraculous, because that's the consistency that God wants for his church. Amen. I know that there are those who would teach there's only the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and it was for a specific purpose at that time, and it is not continued. No, thank God it's continued. Amen. As every generation born in sin needs to understand there is a Redeemer, there is a redemption, there is an experience of salvation that can bring about a change. And thank God we're not going to let that message die. I'm thankful we're not a church that says miracles are gone. They're no longer happen. Amen. Thank the Lord that Brother David goes to the doctor and gets a report. Everything's good. No cancer. Amen. Because the miracles, God still does the work. Amen. Thank the Lord. And the reports of people being filled with the Holy Ghost and the evidence of the Lord doing a work both of redemption and miracles. If there's a consistency in the experiences that we have from the Lord that are based on faith in the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the pattern that's established in the book of Acts and how that it continues now even into today. Power over demonic forces and the hand of God being demonstrated in numbers of ways. But ultimately, the greatest miracle is the salvation, the changed life. Praise God. A person who can overcome sin and not be overcome, but live above the aspects of sin because of the freedom and the blessing and the power that God brings into an individual's life. And he says, I'm giving you freedom in truth. I'm giving you liberty in the power of the Spirit. And the continuation of that aspect and the walk with God is so incredible. And I'm very, very thankful that it is something that we get reports of again and again of how God is fulfilling his word. Praise God. And his word is not going to fail. It's not going to pass away. It will continue to be presented and confirmed. He confirmed his word with signs following. Praise God. And I'm thankful that happened everywhere. The Lord went with them everywhere, confirming the word with signs following. And they preached everywhere. And I'm thankful that there's no limit. There's no culture. There's no society. There's no country that need be exempt from what the Lord is able to present and able to provide. Because God's word works everywhere. And in our society, we're becoming more and more, maybe not in Alaska so much, but more and more a blend and a variety. But praise God, it doesn't matter. The power of the Lord can be fulfilled and brought forth in a tremendous way and make a difference in everyone's life, regardless of their language, their background, their ethnicity. Praise God, it works. The word of God works. And that's what we hold forth when we develop disciples. It's not, no, let's see here. For the Muslims, we've got to do it a little bit different. No, thank God. There are Muslims being filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name even now. Praise God. And the report that we saw from the United Nations, and we saw that video last year, that's still happening. That's still going on. There are still people being filled with the Holy Ghost. High diplomatic levels. UN staff people that are way up in terms of their responsibilities for their countries. Still being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Still being baptized in Jesus' name. Because it doesn't matter what culture. It doesn't matter what country. It doesn't matter what background. The word of God works. Amen. That's what we're going to be consistent with. That's what we're going to pass on to new converts, new disciples. And that's what we're going to stay with. Amen. In the word of God. All right, our time is gone. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer.